And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. We have open talk to begin the program today. We'll have guests later. We're going to be talking with Louise Nayer later on the program. She is now semi-retired. I guess that would be the best way to put it. A semi-retired college professor. And she is going to talk with us about getting ready for retirement. Not financially. This is not, financial advice and planning to have enough money and so on and so forth. But simply the concept of retirement. A lot of people get very anxious when they're thinking about retirement. When to do it? I mean, it used to be a generation or two ago, it was automatic. Age 65, retire. Now some people retire early. Some in their 50s. Some much later. And I really never thought about it until I ran across Louise, and she had quite an experience as she was trying to decide what to do. Although she's semi-retired, she still writes. She was a English and creative writing professor. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Some of the issues, the anxiety issues of dealing with retirement. If you're a baby boomer, or maybe your parents are baby boomers, might be interested. And then still later on the program, Raina Goble joins us. We'll be talking about college debt, paying down college debt. There's a lot of recent college grads who suddenly have that on their agenda, too. Or, maybe you're getting ready to head into college and you realize what kind of a debt load you're going to be carrying when you graduate in a few years, yeah. So we'll talk about that, some plans for that, Raina Goble. She's written a book, actually. It's kind of funny. It's called The Cliff Notes Guide to Dealing with Student Loans. Cliff Notes, the cheaters that you use for literature. Did you use them, Cliff Notes? Don't tell me you've never read a Cliff Notes to try to get ready to do a paper. Yeah, everybody has at one point or another, right? Open talk to begin the program today, 283-2525, 283-2525. Excuse me for a second while I get a little drink of water there. It's been one of those mornings where, I'm kind of glad to be in the studio just chatting with you because it's been nonstop here this morning. It's been a crazy, crazy morning. Our phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525, open talk here on the first portion of the program today. Wasn't it nice to see so many of the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Pittsburgh Pirate game last night? I was not at the game, but nice coverage in the Post-Gazette and on the TV. Sidney Crosby threw out the first pitch, and there were, looked like half the team was behind him in the infield there, all wearing Pirate T-shirts and Pirate hats. Nice to show the hockey team supporting the baseball team. Some of the Pirates were at playoff games, Stanley Cup playoff games. There were many Steelers who went to Penguin playoff games during the Stanley Cup run. So that's nice to see. Yeah. And the parade is underway in Pittsburgh, I suppose, still going on, I imagine. I don't know. Have you ever gone to one of those celebratory parades? Pat Parker, our engineer, on the other side of the glass? No. No, I have not either. I know people who have. And, if that's your thing, that's great. I certainly don't think I would take a day off work to go. And most people, I would imagine, had to do that if they went today, unless they were working the night shift, if that conveniently worked out for them. Students, of course, most students are on holiday right now, so Well, they wouldn't have to worry about it, but for other people, working folks, well, I guess there are some folks off today because it's a holiday. For some, it's Flag Day. Flag Day, which is a little bit of an unusual holiday. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the program today. It's a holiday for some, but not for others. It's very strange. It's Open Talk, 283-2525, our number, 283-2525. Let's get to the people here. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. This is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
I'm doing a book about the mom-and-pop stores.
Yes.
And I'm looking for some help. Some of your listeners may know I was on your show in March talking about this. At that time, I was not really intending it to be a book, but I've been convinced, and it is getting ready to go to press. I am looking for some old pictures, pictures of the old stores. I do have a few, but I could use a lot more.
Okay. How do people get in touch with you if they think they may have something that would be useful to you?
I can give you my email address.
That's probably the easiest, yeah.
Okay. It is bookwoman524@zoominternet.net.
Okay.
One of the people that called when I was on your show was from the Hyder store. I believe she said that that was her husband's family, and she mentioned having a picture. But I didn't have any way of getting in touch with her. So if she happens to hear this, I would really like to have a picture of that store. But I'm looking for pictures of any of the old stores.
Did I pass on any information to you subsequent to your being on the show back in March?
No.
I think I have a couple of things for you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I honestly can't remember, but there were a couple of people that, I don't know, you know, some people hit you on the way out of church or, you know, you bump into them. And so let me check that. And, I mean, you're not going to press tomorrow, are you?
No, not tomorrow, not yet.
Okay. Let me check and see, and maybe we can get in touch with each other off the air, and I can let you know what I have.
Okay, that would be great.
Bookwoman 524@zoominternet.net.
Yes.
Good to talk with you again, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525, the number, 283-2525. Hi there, thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead, it's your turn. Hello? Yeah. Maybe we got tired of waiting. Maybe when they realized it was me, they didn't want to talk anymore. I'm not sure. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. That was an interesting conversation we had earlier this week with Bill May about Butler's old movie theaters. And tomorrow night is his program now. It's Thursday tomorrow. And somebody called and said that they'd seen a sign that had the wrong date. Did you hear any more on that, Pat? I don't know. I didn't. Maybe it was just somebody who drove past a sign and read it wrong or something. I don't know. But it's tomorrow. At any rate, Thursday at the Carousel Shelter at Alameda Park. Multimedia presentation, if you weren't with us when we chatted with Bill. He's got slides. He's got some videos and stuff like that about old movie theaters, movie stars. At least one woman who was in quite a few movies, native of Butler. Mm-hmm. And some famous people who came and performed at some of the old movie theaters, some of which were also live performance halls. And when they were originally built, they were called opera houses, but not in the sense that we would, you know, think of an opera house today, like Heinz Hall or something like that. They just had a stage. One of them was the Penn Theater, which the building's still there. In fact, there's only two of them that are. Oh, no, I take that back. The Brick House, where the Gettler's restaurant is, that was actually two movie theaters, and I never knew that before we talked with Bill May. And, of course, the Majestic, which is the oldest of the theaters, that building still exists as well. But the theater, the Butler, across from the hot dog shop, that was long gone, a long time ago. 283-2525, our number. Open Talk on the It's Your Turn program today. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. This is really weird stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Two weirdies.
That's okay. I'm kind of a weird mood today, so that'll fit right in.
Well, NASA is going to send up this stuff. It's going to be on a rocket. You can see it anywhere from New York. They're supposed to do it today, weather permitting. It's been canceled two or three times. What it's going to do is make the clouds red, white, and blue.
And for what purpose?
To track particles, where particles in the upper atmosphere go.
Hmm. But, I mean, do those colors have any significance?
Yeah, it's a different stuff. Three different products are shooting up. And they said what it was, but it was a big term.
Mm-hmm. No, I hadn't heard about that. No.
Yeah, today's supposed to be on, if the weather's permitting. If not, then next one will be Thursday till they get a good day to do it. But you can see it here in Western PA.
I'll have to find out more about that.
It will be towards the northeast.
And you said you had something else that was...
Yeah, I have a problem with GMO, this genetically modified food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mention names. I bought a bananas over at Walmart.
They have genetically modified bananas?
Yeah. They were Doles. I was watching television. I put a banana sliced up with some ice cream, and I bit into it, and it was like mushy inside, and then inside that mush were seeds. Did you ever hear of banana seeds?
I don't know. I'm not much of a banana man myself. I've never.
This is crazy, yeah.
But the only thing I liked about bananas was banana popsicles when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is bananas themselves.
I did a program on genetically modified foods, I don't know, a year or so ago.
Over at Sam's Club, they got these peppers. They're red, white, or they're green and yellow, and then they have green ones. The hide on those is so tough you can't chew it. You can cook them, the hide, the same way with the potatoes, the hide on them, or you could lay a potato out. They said they won't rot.
Well, do you know that they're genetically modified? Maybe they're not.
Yeah, it has to be. They look like they're stamped out of the same mold. Everyone's the same size. Strawberries, same size.
Well, not all produce is genetically modified these days.
No, Sam's Club is a big buyer of that, though. They says USA. They give you like 20 different countries, and then... And they won't tell you which country it is.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I did a program on it a year or so ago with a food scientist, and she indicated that, you know, that it was actually good, and it was good for farmers and good for the foods.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about it. So.
Yeah, I'd say there's good and bad to it. Okay, keep your eye on the sky, Dave.
Okay, will do. Evening? Thank is that you. When you look for that, during the evening?
I think it's all day long.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have different colored clouds. They're supposed to do it in the morning, and then it will start showing up probably. I'm not looking now, but all day long will be the different clouds.
All righty. Hey, thanks for the call, my friend.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. Good to talk with you. Haven't heard anything about that. You know, we're not doing much in space these days. In the United States, we haven't had any manned missions for years because we don't have any. We don't have any rockets that can take men into space. Anytime our astronauts, U.S. astronauts, go up to the International Space Station, they have to fly over to Russia. And they're launched from the Russian Space Center over there, wherever that is, Siberia or Ukraine or somewhere. Because we don't have any vehicles that'll get there. We still launch satellites every once in a while, but... You know, rocket engines that are powerful enough to take cargo and humans to outer space, we can't do it. Not since the last of the shuttles was decommissioned. The ones that are left are all in museums now. Of course, we lost two shuttles, tragically. Challenger and, what's the other one? Columbia, I think. Challenger... exploded on takeoff, and Columbia disintegrated on coming back to Earth, coming back into the atmosphere. I think there were three that were left, and they're all in museums now. So we can't do it unless we build another rocket that's capable of taking men and cargo into space. I mean, significant cargo. Obviously, we have rockets that will launch a weather satellite or something like that. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk here on the program today, 283-2525. Another wild story about a shooting incident. This one in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., where there were several members of Congress who were practicing. I guess it was for some kind of a charity baseball game or something. They were at a practice early this morning, and a shooter started firing shots at him. And the Republican House Whip, Steve Scalise, I don't know all of the members of the House. I mean, you know, there are several hundred of them. But the Republican House Whip was among those who was shot. Shot in the hip, I guess, the hip or the leg or something. He's going to survive. He had to undergo surgery. But they couldn't even get him off the field. He was shot. He was out of the infield near second base at this baseball diamond. And they had to leave him lying there until they could bring down the shooter who was behind one of the dugouts with apparently several weapons, at least one rifle. And they had to wait till authorities could neutralize him before they could go out and get this guy who was lying there wounded. Fortunately, one of the other people on hand, I think it was another congressman. I've been in and out of the newsroom since mid-morning, so I may not have the latest info on this. He happened to be a military surgeon who had served in the Middle East, Afghanistan or somewhere, and he was able to quickly take action to, you know, make sure that this congressman was stabilized, and then they flew him, choppered him to surgery. So a very, very bizarre instance. There were, I guess, four people injured altogether in the shooting, the Virginia shooting. And very, very unsettling. So this, according to my memory, would be the second time now that a member of Congress has been shot, right? Gabby Giffords, the congresswoman from Arizona, was shot at a congressional town hall or something like that, an outdoor gathering. That's several years ago now, of course. Here's another member of Congress shot. Very, very unsettling. Very unsettling. And from what I understand, I haven't had time to digest all of the facts here. Obviously, this just happened this morning. But from what I understand, there were law enforcement officers there at the scene. I mean, it was not without security, from what I understand. I'm sure that'll be investigated. Will this lead to more regulations on who can buy a gun? Will it lead to more background checks? Will it lead to more limitations on the kinds of guns you can buy? For example, assault rifles? I don't know. I have no idea. Obviously, we've had many other shooting incidents here in this country, and we've had many that were far more deadly. And that's not to say that, obviously, a member of Congress is any more important than any other human life, but I'm sure it will get the attention of those in Washington when now it's a second member of Congress who's been shot. Gabby Giffords survived. She had to resign from Congress, though. I think she has some limitations. She was shot in the head. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Open talk here on the program today. 283-2525. Do you still shop at the mall? More and more people are not going to the malls anymore. By the way, this is not here locally. Obviously, Clearview Mall has been affected. But it's malls all over the country. All over the country. Traffic is down incredibly in the malls. And it seems like every week there's more bricks and mortar stores who are shuttering the stores. The latest in our area, of course, is the Kmart store at Pullman Square. It was announced just last week that it's going to be closing. And you have to wonder about the future of the Pullman Square shopping plaza. Because many years ago, the other really big store at the other end of that plaza, which was a grocery store, it was a Shop and Save, wasn't it? I can't remember now. It's been so many years ago. But that closed, and that's been vacant. Now the other anchor, if you will, the other big store at the other end, Kmart's going to be shuttered by September at the latest. It's not going to leave too many businesses in that shopping center. The UPS store isn't there anymore, right? No, that's somewhere else. There was a restaurant there. That's not there anymore. There's a fabric store, Joanne Fabrics. Is that still there? I don't buy fabrics, so is that still there? And there was an auto parts store. I don't know whether there's anything else there. Fabric store, auto parts store. Was a dollar store down there? I don't know. Dollar stores have proliferated to such a degree in recent years that it's hard to keep track of them. By the way, that's an interesting story, too, this Dollar General phenomenon. I guess they were big in the South. So, I mean, it's not like they're new. They're new to this area, to the northeastern part of the country. But man, oh man, those things spring up like mushrooms. They bring a crew in, and a month later they got a new one. In some very unusual places. So there must be a different business model. I don't know. You got one chain here that's building new stores faster than you can keep track of them. And you got many, many traditional stores that, Now, I can't say that the Kmart closing was a surprise. It's pretty obvious that the traffic there over the past several years has declined significantly. And I think the Kmart people realized it as well. It seemed to be at times somewhat understaffed, if you were in there, with employees, with a very limited number of cashiers sometimes. But the merchandise always seemed to be fully stocked. I don't know. Kmart is owned by Sears Holdings, which is the parent company of Sears stores. And they're closing many, many more of those, too. Sears stores and Sears Auto Centers announced with the recent round of Kmarts. The Kmart in Indiana, PA, is closing, and Belle Vernon and Butler. And earlier this year, I don't know, back in February, I think, there was a bunch of other ones that were announced. A couple of hundred more in other parts of the country, including here in western Pennsylvania. It was a Sears official who a couple of months ago questioned in public whether or not Sears Holdings could survive. You know, will any Sears stores or Kmart stores survive? I think it's a legitimate question these days. Legitimate. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Do you miss some of these stores that are gone? And do you worry about others? You know, JCPenney seemed to be on shaky ground, and we were all worried about that here in Butler because that's one of the remaining anchor stores at Clearview Mall. But it has survived the latest round of news from JCPenney, and that seems to be doing okay. It's a big store. Wonderful merchandise. Well, that's, my goodness, JCPenney. That's an iconic name in American business, JCPenney. Founded, incidentally, by JCPenney. Yeah. His real name, I think I remember this correctly. I read this on a wire story some years ago. His name was James Cash Penny. That was his middle name, Cash. Now, if you're gonna be the founder and the patriarch of a department store chain, and your middle name is Cash, that's a pretty good start. Huh? And has anybody else ever heard that story? I think that's correct. James Cash Penny, J.C. Penny. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Open Talk here on the It's Your Turn program, if you want to join us. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and talk about Flag Day. It's Flag Day today. A bit, perhaps, of a neglected holiday, would you say? Flag Day? We'll talk about it. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Tanglewood is a nonprofit community and the home of Butler Senior Center. It provides an outstanding venue for receptions, anniversaries, dinners, and dances, as well as being a great place for vendor shows, exercise classes, or meetings. Tanglewood features three different halls that can accommodate as many as 300 people. Going to have snacks or a meal at your event? Feel free to bring in your own, choose a caterer, or call on Chef George, Tanglewood's in-house caterer. Learn more at 287-0021.
Back, it's the Wednesday, June 14th edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Nice to have you with us on the program today. Temperatures not quite as hot, not quite as uncomfortable as yesterday. You know, yesterday was the hottest day of the season so far. Yeah, it was 91 yesterday afternoon. And that was mid-afternoon. It depended on where you were. Because the dark black clouds came in very, very quickly around 3:30, 3:45, and we had storms in a lot of areas. Most of the heavy storm activity was south of Butler. In the immediate Butler area, we had some rain, and even in different neighborhoods around Butler, that varied from place to place. Some folks getting a pretty good downpour, others just a few big drops, you know. We're not expecting it to be quite as hot today. I just checked the temperature. It's 81. Yesterday at 12:30, it was 88 degrees already. So, yeah. 283-2525, our number. It's Open Talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi. I was hearing you talking about the Sears stores and the Penny stores.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
I saw a commercial last week that the Craftsman tools are going to be sold at Ace Hardware now.
Wow. Well, that doesn't sound good for Sears, does it?
No, it doesn't sound good. But, you know, that was one of their strongholds.
Oh, it was a great stronghold. I don't know. Are you handy with tools, sir?
Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was not all that familiar with the tools. I learned from my dad. But he told me that, he said, don't knock Craftsman tools, you know. They're sure they come from Sears, but he said they have lifetime guarantee. They're wonderful tools.
Yeah, they're good stuff.
And, you know, they're expensive. They're right up there with the Stanley and, you know, the other big tool names. So now they're going to be sold at, where did you say, Ace Hardware?
Yes. I saw a commercial last week about it.
Well, in a way, that's good, because people that are familiar with that brand and like that brand, I have some Craftsman tools myself, it'll be good to know that, you know, you can still get them, even if Sears and Kmart, you know, go totally under, which, I don't know, it seems like that's more and more a possibility these days.
Yeah, and their warranty would still be good.
Yeah, that would be very good, because I think... Am I remember that correctly? Don't they have a lifetime guarantee? You know, like if your wrench goes bad or something like that, they'll replace it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all Craftsman tools, but some of my wrenches and stuff are Craftsman. Good tools. Sears also had their line of appliances. Their house brand is pretty good, and I've been trying to think of the name of it. Is it
Kenmore?
Kenmore, that's what it is. Thank you, Kenmore. And they, I mean, washers, dryers, refrigerators, freezers, kitchen ranges, they made all that stuff. And that's a pretty solid brand, isn't it? I think.
I believe so.
You wonder if they'll be able to sell off some of those brands, you know, even if the Sears stores go under.
Well, they probably could.
I don't know.
They probably would.
I don't know. Well, thank you for the call. I hadn't heard that about Craftsman. Appreciate
it. Sure.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Have a good day.
Oh, and you. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. I hope I'm not a hopeless romantic, but I'm sad to see these stores close, quite frankly. I wasn't in Sears every day by any means, and I wasn't in every month, quite frankly. Maybe I'm part of the problem. I don't know. But there are not a whole lot of stores that I'm in that frequently, you know. I think one of the greatest stores we have going these days here in Butler is Boscoff's. To me, that's the closest thing that Butler has ever had to a Horn's or a Kaufman's. Or I guess maybe even a Gimbel's. I was never much for Gimbel's. But Horn's, humongous department store. Kaufman's, humongous. And Boscoff's, to me, is the closest thing Butler's ever had to that. Now, I'm not knocking Troutman's. I know there are some of you old enough to remember the Troutman store downtown. And for its day, I think it was pretty darn good. It didn't sell everything, but clothing and at least some housewares, it was pretty good. And I shopped there a lot. My family did. My mom, I suppose, is the reason I shop there a lot. For clothes, for, linens and stuff like that. Bath towels, they had all that stuff. And then, I believe I remember this correctly, in the basement at Troutman's, that was their, kind of like their household, they didn't sell washers and dryers and that kind of stuff, but... mixers, egg beaters, toasters, that sort of jazz. Small kitchen appliances, you'd call it. That was in the basement, which I almost forgot about this. You could enter that from the side on Cunningham Street. There was a side door that you could actually get into the basement. Boy, that's a long time ago, though, isn't it, for Troutman's? Yeah. I like that store. In the men's department, I knew most of the people, most of the clerks. You go in and say hello. All right? Yeah, kind of sad to see that go. 283, the good old days, huh? 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Good, my friend. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Get upset sometimes, some of the news I read, but...
You and me both.
I remember hearing a district attorney saying they were going to get tough on crime and violence and all this. Then I read the Butler Eagle the other day, and I see where this man argued with another guy, went over to his house, broke into his house. There were two men in there. They all was fighting with clubs. The one man that owns a house or lives in the house fell down, hit his head during the fight. And die. You probably seen that in a Butler Eagle.
I'm familiar with the story, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they only give them like 168, 175 days. And they let them out on time served. The one that went over there with the club and started the fight, the man wouldn't have fell and hit his head if the guy wouldn't have broke into his house. I just don't understand why this guy didn't get at least 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think if these judges in Butler, some of them, I read some of the reports in the paper, they're just slapping hands on some of these big drug dealers and some of these crimes. They're really not, unless, it's a murder, they're not getting tough on crime at all. District attorney is plea bargaining so much away, I don't understand it. I just, I don't see how you're going to stop crime if you don't get really tough and come down instead of with a fly swatter with sledgehammer on some of these people.
I don't think, obviously, in a capital crime like murder, I think local officials are being about as tough as they can be, even in some cases asking for the death penalty. And for drugs, that's an issue that it seems to be debated now in American society. Drug dealers, if they're dealers, especially major dealers, you know, I say throw the book at them. But there's some debate now about whether that's the best way to handle, you know, somebody who's just picked up for possession, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that debate comes from a lot of educated people. It's trying to do their job and want more buildings for themselves personally, like mental institutions and everything. You know, a lot of these mental institutions we have did not help the patient. They put them on more drugs, and a lot of that come to more harder drugs, too. And nobody talks about that. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody talks. I mean, there was good. Yes, there was good. There's always good in anything. There has to be a percentage of good. But just like this guy that, you know, killed the girl. I mean, there he was, you know, and I feel so sorry for the family. But there he was out here in Herman, guarding these so-called juvenile delinquents, which some of them are pretty bad. And he's probably a punk himself. And I just wonder how much of a background check they did on him. And I thought when they said about talking to your children, that maybe the families, when they meet these people, and they're in doubt at first, they should do a background check on their own on these people. It doesn't cost that much. And, you know, something maybe in writing they could show their daughters or their sons. You know, I just think people need to use a little more common sense. And I do think you need to hammer down on these people that's convicted of drugs, because it seems to take 2 years, Dave, before they do anything about it. You know, they got to catch this guy and this and that. Why do they got to wait 2 years after they bought drugs to raid them and do anything? Because how many more people are addicted during that two-year period and they catch one guy? You know, it's just, I think with the technology of everything, it's just ridiculous anymore.
I know that it, and I can sense your frustration, and I think a lot of people are, but by the same token, I mean, I've talked with the district attorney, Rich Coulter. He's been a guest on this program several times, and I mean, they have to build a case. It doesn't do any good to make headlines to bust somebody and say you're going to throw the book at him. And if you don't have a case, and it gets tossed out, or you know, they get a slap on the wrist, then what good does it do? So in many cases, they want two undercover buys, for example. They want to go, if they're taking somebody to court, they want a pretty solid case against them.
But I understand where you're coming from, Dave, but does that take 2 years? Plus, when they do get this case, when you read in the paper, towards the end, they don't really do nothing to them. I mean, put them on probation, big deal. You know, give them 2 months in Butler County Prison with food and play basketball and watch cable, big deal. You know, I just don't think, you know, I don't think the punishment is near. They're making a lot more than that money, so why worry about that kind of punishment? What's that punishment? Where a lot of poor people would love to live.
I hear your frustration, and sometimes I'm not trained in the law, but I will read as well sometimes where somebody for what appears to be, I mean, it's a crime, but certainly not a capital offense, gets you know, a significant prison sentence, and there's somebody else with a pretty serious crime, sometimes even manslaughter or something like that, not capital murder, but manslaughter, and they, you know, makes
well,
you
see,
kind of
I guess the reason I feel
head.
With Phil Dave is because we haven't been doing anything really harsh. We're just starting to get a little bit harder, not hard enough, quick enough. And the people just take advantage of that. Look at the four people. They finally give them a $100,000 bond for two of them. They can't find the one that was in the paper the other day out of these four people. And they found how many drugs in their house and $62,000 in cash.
Yeah.
Now, if you take a 10% bond of $100,000 and you have $62,000 sitting around your house, it's not hard to pay that bond and be back out in the street with your homies again. You know, I just frustrated. Like you said, I'm really frustrated with this. I just think there needs to be more done. And I just think that people, I don't know, seems like some of these people in authority are afraid to hurt the bad guys. You know, I don't get it. You know, I don't understand it.
I hear the frustration in
your
voice, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay.
I guess we are just about out of time here for Open Talk on today's program. We'll have more coming up. later in the week. Not to fear. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about retirement. Now, this is not from a standpoint of our guest will be Louise Nayer. Louise Nayer. And we're not talking about financial planning for retirement. I mean, that's important, obviously. I hope everybody's doing that, or at least investigating it. But we're talking about being mentally prepared or ready for retirement. And I didn't realize a lot of people, this is a great source of anxiety. We'll talk about that topic with Louise Nayer. She's going to be with us here on the It's Your Turn program coming up in just a moment or so. We will be right back with more on the Wednesday edition.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. We have an interesting subject, listeners. By the way, if you're just joining us here on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. We have an interesting topic to explore with our next guest who joins us by telephone. She is Louise Nayer, and we're going to be talking about retirement, specifically poised for retirement. It's a little bit different than you might think it's going to be. First of all, Louise Nayer, nice to meet you. It's terrific to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
There are retirement books out there. I've interviewed a few authors over the years who have written about, you know, planning for retirement, financial planning, and that sort of thing. Your book, Poised for Retirement, is not about that, is it?
No, it's really more about emotional planning. A lot of fears and anxieties come up, some that we're not even aware of. And it's good to recognize them, to articulate them, and then to think about things like, how will it feel without my friends at work, or losing my job identity, or even making the decision. And so as these anxieties come up, it's good to talk about them, acknowledge them, and then think of ways you can move through them. So that's really what the book is about. And I also interviewed a number of people and used my own story as a frame for the book.
I suppose younger adults, millennials and younger, would say, what are you talking about anxiety about retirement? I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait for that year when I'm able to quit. But I think some of our listeners who are a little bit more mature, certainly baby boomers, they're going to know exactly what you're talking about straight away, even trying to decide when to retire. These days is a big question, and it's not so much from a financial standpoint. It's as you say, from an emotional. When do I do this? Do I wait? Do I do it when I'm 65? Do I wait until I'm older? This causes a lot of stress for people, right?
Yeah, and you know, obviously, the financial part is important. You know, to sit around and figure out, well, can I really do this? Although people make all kinds of decisions, whether moving to a place that's less expensive. But, yeah, the other feelings that come up are, what's it going to be like not to go to work every day? Is there going to be a void? What's it going to be like not to have my work colleagues? So all of those things do come up, and yet most of the people I retired felt like when it was time, they felt like they had hit a wall. They were really exhausted, and I went through that, and I had trouble walking up two flights of stairs, and I had always thought of myself as a fairly spry person. And so a lot of people just get to that place where they feel exhausted, and some people say, well, why don't you stay another 3 years because you'll get more money in Social Security or in your pension. And sometimes the right decision is taking care of your mind-body health, and you need to get out. And that's what happened to me. I knew I needed to leave, and it was a little earlier than it was prudent financially, but I don't regret it.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, listeners, about our guest. Louise Nayer is a writer, obviously, and an educator. She was an English prof, actually a professor of English and a creative writing for over 27 years at City College of San Francisco. Presently, she's part of the San Francisco Grotto Writers Collective, teaches workshops as well, and we're speaking to her today San Francisco. So your book, Poised for Retirement, is partly your story? I mean, it's almost part memoir, Louise?
It is. It's part memoir. It's really part memoir, part self-help. So a hybrid. My story, but also other people's stories, and a lot of universals. A lot of things that many, many people feel before retirement, and then the few years after retirement, too, which are also included in the book.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting for me because you are a writer. That was your career, still is, but you love to write, and I understand that you actually started what became this book, Poised for Retirement. It was kind of like journal entries that you were writing in order to help you through this stage of your life. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And for people who love to write, there is writing therapy. You can sit down and write what you're feeling every day, and it can help you see, acknowledge, try and move through it. And so it did start as journal entries, and I wasn't really even thinking of it as a book. But as I started to write it, and especially I started to write it 5 months before I retired, so the book is divided into each month has a different idea. As I started to write it, I thought, you know, this could be really helpful to other people because I'm sure I'm not the only one who's going through these feelings and thinking about it. And then it expanded into, at the end of each chapter, are some very simple calming techniques. Not a workbook, but just some things that I did and that other people have done to help them move through it.
Now, you say that you also talked with other people and you share some of their anxieties and stories. That would include, I assume, your husband, who had retired shortly before you did.
Yes, yes. And it's funny because when he retired 2 years before me, he said, I bet you're going to retire too, because I really wanted to spend more time on my writing. And I was fortunate to have something that I loved that I was going to go to. But I also felt that I was just having trouble grading so many papers. But yeah, he left his job as director of a senior citizen center. And the last year, he was hanging in there to get a bigger Social Security check, but he was actually checking days off the calendar, like a kid who's unhappy at a summer program or camp. And he knew he had to leave. His blood pressure had gone up, and that's another thing. As we get older, definitely the body can respond more to stress. So it's important to listen to your body and to know when it's time, and then people are very resilient in the way they can figure things out.
You have chosen to identify the chapters in your book by months of the year, January, February, and so on. Is that an accurate chronology, or is that just a literary device that you use to kind of move you along?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, it's the first month was really making the decision. And, you know, I a lot of us have different voices in our heads. You know, I happen to have my Depression-era mother saying, why are you getting out just before you're 62? Can't you stay till you're 65? And so I was dealing with all these different voices. And then the next chapter, fears of losing a community, I mean, that could come at any month, but that was something that really hit me, that I wasn't going to have all these chats with all these people that I have seen every day and have known, many of whom I probably wouldn't stay in touch with, although that's an important thing to remember. You can stay in touch with people you've worked with. And then losing my work identity, and then trusting the decision to retire, getting to the point where you say, okay, it's okay, I'm doing it. You know, maybe I won't be in perfect financial shape, or maybe I'll miss people, but I know this is the right decision for me.
You talk about some of the things you went through as you were trying to make this decision, the anxiety and so on and so forth. You also mentioned starting to have strange dreams. Did you find that a common thing among others that you talked to as they approached this stage of their life? They were having strange dreams?
I did. Well, definitely my husband was having dreams that, you know, scary dreams that he wouldn't make it. You know, that he had wanted so much to have this new life, more time in his case to take walks, to do more exercise, and to be outdoors. And so he had dreams that he was going to die before he would reach the finish line. And I had a dream, probably my overactive imagination, but I had a dream that there were skeletons on an elevator with long white hair, and they were trying to get me to jump onto the elevator, and they were going into the basement. And I knew they'd be discarded in the basement. So it was a fear of, oh, I'm going to feel old and discarded. And partly I think, you know, society propagates that too much, that we get older and we don't feel our lives have meaning. But that's not true at all. We have tremendous wisdom and inspiration to pass on to family, friends, grandchildren, and to others in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, that's part of our culture these days. It's so youth-related in many, many ways. We should look at maybe some other cultures in other parts of the world, or even Native American Indian culture, where older individuals were revered, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Respected. Yes.
Yes, respected. Highly. Don't you think it's going to be a relief for a lot of people, baby boomers, who are at this stage of their lives, are thinking about this, to read in your book about, you know, other people have strange dreams, other people have some of these symptoms too, have the same feelings that they're going through? I think it would be a relief.
Yeah, you know, and that's a lot of what I feel is the gift of the book, of saying, you know, you're not the only one going through this. And we often tend to, in our culture, I think, maybe less so now, but to stuff our feelings or deny it or power through or say, you know, this is all fine and I'm not really going through this. And that can wreak havoc on the body. It's better to express it, talk about it, and then plan. You know, if you're a really shy person or you're living alone, it's a good thing to think, well, I do need to reach out, maybe get in touch with old friends, because when I retire, I won't have that social scene to check out hiking clubs or book clubs or, you know, get a group of friends together to go to the ball game, things that will really create happiness in your life.
We're talking, listeners, with Louise Nayer, and we're talking about her book, Poised for Retirement, Moving from Anxiety to Zen. We mentioned strange dreams. Sleeping problems are something that a lot of people experience when they get to this stage of life, whether or not they're contemplating retirement or not.
Right.
You talk about some of your exercises, talk about sleep techniques, breathing. A lot of people maybe would not have read about that before, Louise.
Yeah. Well, you know, one simple thing is just as you go through your day to breathe into the count of four and out to the count of eight. And that's such an easy technique. And the insomnia technique that I use that, you know, maybe won't work for everybody, but certainly worked for me, was to imagine a dresser drawer. And each of the drawers, you can put some of the worries you have. So you could open up the first drawer and, say, put in money anxiety. And then in your mind, just before you're going to sleep, close the drawer and say, you know, I'll deal with that tomorrow. Or fears that I won't have any friends or community, put that in, close the drawer. That really worked for me because I just thought, okay, after I did it, I would often yawn and fall asleep. You know, I can't let those simmer in my mind. You know, I'll deal with it in the morning.
Our guest listeners, Louise Nayer, has written other books. She's also a poet. In fact, one of the testimonials that I read about Poised for Retirement complimented you on your poetic prose as you were writing this book. And by the way, we don't want to paint you know, a totally pejorative picture about this stage of life. Yes, it can be, you can be anxious about it, you can have problems and so on and so forth, but I mean, you put some funny stuff in here too, right? There's some humor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I talked about my depression era mother, and, you know, who was amazing and very practical, and perhaps because, you know, I'm a poet and artist, I don't have the exact sense of practicality. And I remember going to visit where she and my dad have their urns in New York City and just talking to them and just saying, you know, I know I'm not maybe as totally looking as put together as you did or as together, but I want to make this decision. And I really wish that I could have heard their voices at that point because I miss them a lot. But on the other hand, there was some humor in it, too. You know, here I was probably 60 years old, 61 years old, still asking permission from my parents to retire. So I peppered some humor throughout it.
By the way, one of your earlier books recounted when you were a very young child, both of your parents were critically burned in a flash fire, and you know, you were not able to see them for many, many months while they were recovering from their burns, and you wrote a book dealing with your recovery from that. Is that book still in print? I think the title was Burned.
Yes, actually,
right?
That book was just republished in August of 2016, and certainly that childhood trauma led to a certain amount of anxiety, which would just be, you know, normal. And it also led me to really think about my life in terms of retirement because you never know what's going to happen, and you never know how life's going to change in surprisingly good ways or in difficult ways. So if you really want a new life or you want to focus on a hobby, and you're able to swing it, you know, even if you have to downsize your life, it's important to do it and to do it now. And certainly what happened to my family, my parents, by the way, went on to live until their 90s. They were remarkable people, mm-hmm. even though my mother was facially disfigured. But, you know, they were incredible role models. And so when I knew I had to make a change because of exhaustion and that I wanted to write and I wanted to do different things, I did it. And I don't regret it. It's not always easy financially, but I really don't regret that I made that decision to retire when I did.
Your book, I'm assuming you're aiming at baby boomers or are those about to become baby boomers?
Yes, definitely. And they're... There are 250,000 people turning 65 in America every month. A huge, huge percentage of the population. I think 20%.
I guess I just said people about to become baby boomers. That's pretty ridiculous. You're either a baby boomer or you're aunt. Obviously, I meant people who may be retiring in the not-too-distant future. Folks, this book, by the way, if you're looking for Louise online, Louise Nayer, her last name is spelled N-A-Y-E-R. And her book, Poised for Retirement, should appeal to anybody, really, who's about to retire, maybe even family members who, you know, want to help their mom or dad get through this stage. That would be a nice little gift to give them. And don't forget, as we wrap up here, the last part of your book is about people who have already retired and the first several years after that, because there's still some anxiety there, right?
Yeah, what I found in interviewing a lot of people is some people, right when they retired, took a trip. It could be to a national park, it could be a cruise, it could be going to Europe, you know, whatever. And there was a sense of euphoria, which is great. And yet, the first year, sometimes people took on too much after they came back from the trip. A desire to fill the void. I have to do lots of things. And I found it took about 3 years for people to settle into their retired life, whether it was working part-time, taking care of grandkids, deciding to take more walks every day, and really creating a healthier life. But it did take a couple of years. It wasn't instantaneous. And that's one of the points of the book, is to be patient with yourself. You know, it's a big transition, and it's good to be patient with yourself and others, spouses, partners, because a lot of feelings come up. So it's just good to talk about them.
You know, the last three chapters of Louise's book are about 3 years after you retire. I loved one of the Facebook postings from your friend, one of your friends, whenever you finally decided to retire. She said, "Welcome to the world of possibilities."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Louise Nayer visiting with us today, author of Poised for Retirement. Thanks so much, Louise. Nice to talk to you today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Sure. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Interesting, huh? And a nice lady, too. I liked her. Louise Nayer. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. And they would ask you, if you can see your way clear, to maybe think about donating some of your extra garden produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. Yeah, they're running that program again. They've done this for a few years now, where when your produce starts to come on, and it's really, you know, really a little early yet, but when the tomatoes come on, or the peppers, or the beans, or whatever, consider donating any extra that you have to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They'll have a collection program where you can take it Saturday mornings to St. Michael's School Hall, right behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue. There'll be people there to collect it, and it'll be in the food bank first thing Monday morning. And that's such a great treat for the families who rely on the food bank. Fresh, homegrown vegetables, you know, as opposed to a non-perishable item, which they're very grateful for. But the fresh stuff is super. Been a very successful program for a few years now, so think about it. If you have a garden, just a little bit. They don't want all your stuff, of course. Just a little bit, maybe. We stand the tallest when we stoop to help others. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler, they operate their food bank on North Elm Street. They operate to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South, just south of Butler. And they also have a wonderful client aid program as well that helps the needy on occasion. Maybe come the end of the month with a doctor bill or a rent payment. Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Well, coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll be chatting with Raina Goble about paying off sometimes pretty sizable student loans. A lot of recent college grads are starting to worry about that right now, huh? Today is Flag Day. Do you know what we celebrate on Flag Day? Huh? we celebrate the adoption of the design of the American flag. There were several designs that were put forth back in the day, and the one that was finally adopted, of course, was the red and white alternating bars, and then the stars on the field of blue for the individual states. And it was adopted on June 14th, 1777. Long time ago. Just a little less than a year after the Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence was July 4th, 1776. This was June of the next year, the following year, when the Continental Congress adopted what is still the design of the flag. Now, it's changed a little bit. Originally, they would add a new bar whenever a new state came into the Union. But then it got to be, you know, it was ridiculous. There were too many bars, so they cut it back to the original 13 colonies, and they would just add another star whenever a new state came in. The last two stars that were added, Alaska and Hawaii. Yeah. So happy Flag Day. It's interesting because it's not an official federal holiday. So it's not federal government employees, no. No day off today. The mail's being delivered. Most banks are open. However, at the local level, it's a different story, and it varies from place to place. Now, Butler County, the courthouse is closed today. Butler County governmental offices, courthouse annex, municipal courts closed, and the Butler City Building is also closed today in observance of Flag Day. And in many communities, you'll see flags out. Now, here in Butler, we have flags along Main Street every day of the year. But in some communities, the flags come out today for Flag Day. Yeah, Flag Day. Sometimes it gets a little bit lost because of where it falls on the calendar. And that's understandable. It's right between Memorial Day and the 4th of July. Almost exactly halfway between Memorial Day and the 4th of July. So, you know, two pretty big patriotic holidays. Gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Well, we have more to come on the It's Your Turn program, so please stick with us. We'll be chatting with our next guest in a few minutes here, talking about paying off student loans. And this is becoming more and more of a problem because college education is getting more and more expensive. Sometimes students now are graduating with humongous amounts of student debt. There are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, we're still paying off college loans in their 50s. A lot of money to pay back. So we'll talk with Raina Goble about some ways to do that, pay that off, get a plan going. She'll have some tips for us coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll be back to talk with her in just a couple of minutes.
Hello, I'm Chris O'Donnell with Central Electric Cooperative. Central Electric does everything it can to keep costs down for members. If we can reduce electricity purchased during high demand periods, we will help stabilize future power costs for our members. You can help. When you hear a peak alert announcement on the radio, please turn off all non-essential electric items, especially dehumidifiers and pool pumps, and set your air conditioner no lower than 78 degrees. Our peak alerts and the radio broadcast usually occur in the summer months from June to September, and typically in the afternoon between noon and 6 p.m. Alerts usually last between 4 to 6 hours. So, be alert for peak alerts. With your help, we can help keep your energy bill down. This is Chris O'Donnell with Central Electric Cooperative, powering everyday life for 80 years. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, it's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Welcome, listeners. We're very happy on this next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. And by the way, if you're joining us a little bit late today, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone. She is Raina Goble. And we're going to be talking about managing student debt today, specifically the new edition of Cliff Notes, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. First of all, Raina, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Oh, so happy to be here, Dave, and it is the second edition.
Yes, second edition, which means a couple of things. There have probably been a few changes, number one, and number two, this has been very popular in its first edition, because if it wasn't, believe me, they wouldn't be printing a second edition.
I mean, there have been so many changes with income-based repayment, now pay-as-you-earn, and public service loan forgiveness. There's an actual application. People don't have to wait 10 years and see if they qualify. So many changes. With public service loan forgiveness, that one is my favorite, because I worried about people being on this for 10 years and there's no real contract on it and you don't know if your job qualifies. But the good news is one out of four Americans qualify for public service loan forgiveness if they meet the qualifications after 10 years. Where the confusion happens is they think it's their job is what qualifies them, but it's really where they're working. So a marketing person at a private hospital could still qualify for public service loan forgiveness. So you have any inkling, you have a government contract, anything that could possibly connect you to public service loan forgiveness, do apply.
Well, that is just one factor, and there are many, many, many that you'll find in this book, folks. This is it's an area, Raina, where a lot of folks, you just start talking about student loans, their eyes glaze over because it's so complicated and so complex, and they just think they'll never fully be able to understand it. But what you just mentioned, I mean, what a fact to know that you could, qualify for forgiveness after 10 years. It's wonderful. There's lots more in this book, folks. And if you pick one up and look through it and you say, well, this kind of looks like Cliff's Notes that I remember from college, well, that's because it is. It's Cliff's Notes, Graduation Debt, and How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. A little bit about our guest, Raina Goble, is a journalist. She has an MBA to start with. She's written for U.S. News and World Report, for Forbes. We mentioned that this is the second edition of this book. The first edition was chosen as the Financial Book of the Month a couple of years ago by the Washington Post.
And now the second edition has as well.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you know of what you speak, Raina, because from what I understand, this whole book was inspired by the fact that you defaulted on a student loan some years ago, a student loan that you didn't even know you had.
That's exactly the point. It's like I didn't know it existed. I had 16 loans for my undergraduate years. Very easy to do. One subsidized, one unsubsidized, 4 years is 8 semesters. And I just forgot to either consolidate it or the consolidation company forgot this one loan. Whatever happened, I didn't know until I went back to school. And if you look at the National Student Loan Data System site, you can see the status of all your loans, and this doesn't have to happen. But if you do default, back then it was they set what your affordable payment plan can be. Mm-hmm. Mine was relatively high compared to the salary that I had. But now there's a formula, and that didn't happen until July of this year. So if you have a default, you could have a payment as low as $5 for 9 months, and then it's removed from your credit report. So all of this stuff is very easy to get out of. The default penalties are severe if you don't do something about it, but they don't have to impact your life if you take control now. And as far as your regular student loans, there's affordable payment plan options. There's all sorts of different options for how to repay your student loans. Pay-as-you-earn may or may not be mm-hmm. the best option for you. You may just be better off with a straight consolidated payment. Although, if you have any inkling you might qualify for public service loan forgiveness, you have to take an income-related plan.
The fact that you defaulted on a student loan that you didn't even know about, you're not unique, from what I understand. It's actually quite a percentage people with student loans, this same thing happens to them. They default on a loan that they didn't realize they had.
Yeah, I mean, the number of defaults are 1 out of 5 for my generation, and then now it's still, I think it's close to 15% in the first 3 years alone, never mind after that. They, you'd have to see the full, like, 10-year study a few years from now. But I wonder how many of those are that just didn't know. The late payments are definitely that they just didn't know because there are so many options for payments if you actually call up your servicer and get help. And that's what I really wanted to do with the book, is so that people just stop being scared of their student loans and face them, because these are loans that have more options for payments and even payment breaks if you need them than any other loan in the world.
Let me start at the beginning. I don't know much about this. I know that it's very much in the news, mainly because of the spiraling cost of college education. So many people are graduating with heavy student loan debts. Say I take a student loan and then I graduate from college. Do I start paying it back immediately? Do I start paying it back once I find a job? Is the schedule that I make for repayment, is that set in stone? Start from the very beginning on those questions, Raina. First of all, do you start paying it back right away on graduation day?
No. That'll be a very sad graduation day. It's graduation day, not repay your student loans day, and you're still a student. They would never do that. 6 months later, so you get a six-month grace period. In that time, what I suggest for students to do when they get their first job is look over the payment plans, and while you're looking over them, you know, set aside the payment that you think it will be into, that you pick, that you think you're going to want, into a savings account. Then you're starting to build your emergency savings. You don't need to start payment right away. And it gives you practice, and then you're like, you know, I really can't afford that. Then you'll be able to both look over your budget and see if your budgeting is the reason why you can't afford it, or if you just need to pick a different payment plan. Because you do only get to change those about once a year, so you don't want to be on a payment plan that really just doesn't work for you, and there are so many other options. Use that 6 months to practice and really determine what works in your budget. I know I had no idea what worked in a post-graduation budget. When I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I was still in an apartment and such, but it is very different. And when you get that first check after college, it seems like it's an enormous amount, but your bills are also going up too. And you, so you have that time to adjust to that.
So you have the option of choosing a repayment plan, but that has to be approved by the federal government, I assume?
Well, yeah. I mean, you call. I mean, the options are, the options are just what they are, you know. So you can look online, and it will show you. You can go to my website, graduationdebt.org, and they have links from the resources page to helpful calculators and different things, so you can kind of look it over and decide what it is that you may want to do. So I think that that's where you should always start, is by looking over the calculators, calling your student loan servicer. You can get the student loan servicer information from the National Student Loan Data System when you click on your loans, and just look at the different options, really explore it, make sure that you're starting off on the right foot, because you're going to have this loan for between 10 and 20 years, or 10 and 30 years, depending on how much you borrowed. So having things together now will make your life so much easier for years and years to come.
When do you default on a student loan? If you miss just one payment, is that considered a default?
No, it takes like 9 months plus to default. So it's, but you don't have to miss payments if you know you can get an excused payment break. And then one thing that I really think is important for not just students that are just graduating, but for people my age in their 30s that are looking at their student loans, is that sometimes when we think we can't repay our loans, it's not about the student loans themselves, it's about how we're handling our overall budget.
Uh-huh.
Now, there used to be a big thing about the cappuccino factor, the frappuccino factor, if you just stopped drinking coffee and then save that amount in your account. Well, I would never advocate people giving up coffee. I would advocate, instead of the frappuccinos, that they go to a local coffee house because they serve better stuff. But still, drink your coffee. Don't give up the stuff you love. Cut back on the things that you don't really care about. For instance, nobody is saying, gosh, I wish I spent more on my spoiled groceries. Wow. What you want to do is you want to look at your grocery budget and see what you're throwing out. A lot of the time, the reason why they're spoiled groceries is because people wishful grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. They think, I'm going to bring my meals to work every day, and they don't. And that's okay. So if you know you're going to eat out all the time, buy less groceries at home. Then you probably saved $100 there. And while you're at it, use a restaurant.com coupon when you go out. You'll have so much to take home, and then you can bring your meals for like 2 or 3 days later, because if you get for $4 a gift certificate for $25 off of $35, then you're getting a lot of food that you can take home later. You don't have to cook. And then you're happy, and you're still living the lifestyle that you want. Or look at what you're ordering when you're going out. Instead of ordering something that's 15, order something that's 8. Look at if you're ordering appetizers. Maybe have water instead of soda. I mean, there's just all sorts of ways to cut back and still live the lifestyle that you want. I think, and then, of course, car and home insurance. You can generally get a better rate. So you should look at those things.
And by the way, there are sub-chapters Raina's book, Cliff's Notes, Graduation Debt, that cover these things, obviously in much more detail. We're just touching on them here, but
yeah.
Budgeting for your lifestyle, budgeting during inflation, and that sort of thing. You'll find it all in much more detail in here. We are able to talk with Raina for a couple of more minutes, but we have to take a break here on It's Your Turn, so we'll pick up our conversation with Raina Goble here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 2727. The pick 3, 826, 826. The pick 4, 9953. The pick 5, 74925. The wild ball for each of those is 1. And your treasure hunt is 15, 16, 18, 25, and 26. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Welcome back, listeners, if you're just joining us, maybe a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Raina Goble. She is the author of Cliff's Notes, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. And a lot of students these days, I mean, we've had student loans for a long, long time, but so many students these days are graduating with heavy loan debts that are going to keep them in debt for, as Raina said, 10, 20, even 30 years, depending on how much they borrowed. So there's important information here that really goes into detail, but it doesn't throw everything at you at once. The separate chapters make it very easy. You have chapters on consolidating loans. Now, many students, we talked about this in the first portion of our conversation, Raina, many students will graduate with multiple loans, several loans, and you should, in not all cases, but in some cases, look at consolidating them. You talk about that?
Yeah, I think consolidation itself gets to be a confusing word, because sometimes people think of it as just a payment plan, when it really isn't. All consolidation is taking all your loans and making them one loan, combining them. And right now, for a federal student loan, that can only be done through the federal government. Now, when it comes to payment plan, yes, there are extended plans that are offered with that consolidation. However, you can still get on an income-related plan, which is what you would need if you qualify for public service loan forgiveness, because otherwise, after the 10 years, there'd be nothing left to be forgiven. So you have to be on one of those plans. So that would be... And then the one thing I want to say for someone choosing a 30-year plan, don't think that means that you have to wait to pay it off in 30 years. You can put in extra money and pay it off early whenever you want. There are no penalties for paying off these loans early. Putting in an extra $5, $10 a month can cut years off your repayment. However, again, with public service loan forgiveness, anytime you send in extra money, really what you're doing is reducing the amount that will be forgiven. There's two sets of advice for public service loan forgiveness and things everyone else should be doing. And one in four is about the number for the qualify for public service loan forgiveness.
You also have a chapter on managing your private loans because people are going to have other loans.
Yep.
You can borrow by a car, most likely. And by the way, this ties in with a question I asked you on the first part of our conversation, Raina. If you miss even a single student loan payment, and then you apply for a car loan, that one missed payment is probably going to affect your credit score, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it affects it less and less as it goes by. I think that if you miss one payment, don't panic. Don't feel like your life ended. Just get it back under control. And then as time goes by, even in a few months, it's going to start impacting your score less and less.
Mm-hmm. You have a separate chapter in your book, Cliff's Notes, Graduation Debt, dealing with that. The chapter is called Understanding How Your Debt Looks to Lenders. And there's a lot in there about your credit rating and your credit score. You have something in here. Where do I find the page? I marked it. I've got a review copy in my hands here, Raina. This is something I never heard of. Thomas.gov. It's a website.
It's one of my favorites.
Thomas.gov. And when I first saw this, I said, what the heck is that all about? Tell us about Thomas.gov.
Well, Thomas.gov, if someone says, oh, this is, or you read it, or you hear it on the news, you read it online, mm-hmm. that there's some big change in student loans or really anything, you can read any bill on Thomas.gov and also find out if the bill actually passed. Because sometimes you'll hear stuff about this bill is going to change everything. Well, then you'll find out it's just stuck in committee, and it's really not going to change anything unless it actually leaves committee.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find out what the status is. You can actually read the bill. It's kind of a neat site. It's how the general public can fact-check the media.
What about trying to buy a home when you still have considerable student loan debt? You need to know something about debt-to-income ratio, and that's another term that makes people's eyes glaze over. Can you talk a little bit about that in relation to buying a home, Raina?
Yeah, it has to do with how your overall debt payments to the total amount that you owe. So, I mean, really what that debt-to-income ratio, let's say that you have $1,000 in payments overall, student loans, credit cards, everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your income is about $4,000 a month. So you have a 25% debt-to-income ratio, which isn't bad. So they're not looking at what your overall student loan debt is. They're looking at the payments. So when you're on those consolidated plans or you're on an income-based, it's not going to affect you the same way being on a 10-year plan would. And you can repay your student loan early, so don't worry about it. However, if you have payments on a credit card and you can pay that off relatively quickly, that's going to reduce it instantly too. So look at your overall debt picture. Always repay credit cards before your student loans.
There are much more in the book, folks, even a chapter about budgeting through downsizing or even a layoff. Maybe you lose your job. You know, what do you do? Or your salary gets cut. That's covered in still another chapter in the book. Available wherever we find books these days, I'm guessing, Raina?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores, and, of course, Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, et cetera.
Well, if you...
And whenever they have questions for me, they can tweet me at Raina Goble, and I answer every question tweeted to me.
Again, the title, listeners, Cliff's Notes, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. Thanks, Raina Goble. Nice to talk with you today. Very educational, very informative. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.